I also wanted to quickly ask if, since I've listened to different episodes of Dating While Gray than you have, does Laura mention specifically certain dating sites or apps more than others? Like, because I'm not even, you started talking about certain services and I had never heard of anyone. So I'm just curious if she was a proponent of some over others or had any opinion about that.
Plenty of Fish, I heard one person mention. Okay. I heard Match mentioned by a few, but I didn't hear, nor did I see on the list of podcasts, you know, this is where you should go on the internet to find a date.
Okay.
Did not see that.
Like Match is like the MySpace of dating apps, right? I mean, that's, I'm surprised
it still is. Okay. Yeah. For our age group anyway, we're not swiping. We're not swiping at our age, I don't think. But
right.
Maybe.
It's hard on our flip phones to do that.
Very difficult. Flip phones are back.
Are they? Because I was just grilled mercilessly at one of the places I worked at for having a flip phone. And I finally relented. When my mother died, things became complicated. So I thought, okay, I'll get a real deal phone just so I can actually do things.
Yeah.
Uncertain. Just what do you think you're doing, Dave?
Uncertain.
You can't handle the truth.
Uncertain. You know how to whistle, don't you? You just put your lips together and blow. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Uncertain.
Do you feel lucky?
That's all.
Uncertain.
Come on up and see me sometime. Oh.
Hey, Dale. What's new?
Hi, Anna. What's new? Not to date this, although we will talk about dating. But yeah, new year, right?
New year.
Full of optimism and fear. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So just doing that.
And you're thinking you're married. Although Jerry in The Golden Bachelor, which we're going to briefly discuss in the course of doing our show today, Jerry was kind of a liar, but you could be the next Golden Bachelor.
Right. I would have to really lie.
Of course.
I'd have to lie. Yeah.
But like I said, he did. So.
No, and I want to get more into that because it's funny for me, so many zeitgeist phenomenon. See, that's all we need to share how old we are with the world. It's just that song.
Exactly.
But it's so great to me to hear about Golden Bachelor without actually seeing it. Like, I hate Jerry already, and that's based on, like, second, third-hand information coming. Although I did hear some clips. But mm-hmm. I suppose we should say that what we're going to do this episode is a look at a very popular podcast called Dating While Gray.
That's correct.
That you actually, Anna, you told me about. And at first, I'm like, I'm not gray. I'm bald. I'm not dating. I'm married. Why would I be interested in this? And I was surprised at how interesting and relatable the episodes were. So I look forward to talking about this with you.
Excellent. Audience probably already has figured this out. You're married, so hopefully not dating in any form. And I'm single, and I am sort of in the host Laura Stassi, her camp of like, is dating even possible? Is dating worth it? If you want to fall in love, you want to meet the right person, but internet dating, which is still the most popular way for people to meet people, you have to have a lot of patience. Anyway, let's just get into it. We won't talk about our own health concerns because maybe we'll get into that in the course of the episode, but
yeah.
You know, we are an uncertain age, and I am Anna Nicholas.
And I am Dale Basie.
Yeah, and usually in an Uncertain Age podcast, we talk about movies and TV shows that might be interesting to people of a certain age.
Exactly.
Their memory may be such that they're uncertain of their age, but
uncertain. No,
we're
going to
assume
not.
That most of these people are over the age of 50. Our audience, that's who we want to speak to because that's where we are. Mm-hmm. I'm significantly older than that. You know, our interests are different. So we've done a bunch of movies, we've done some TV shows, and now we're going to tackle a podcast. I think it's our first podcast.
I believe so.
Dale alluded to earlier. It's called Dating While Gray. It has been going since COVID. The first episode, which is, I think, the starter episode that you should begin with, is dated February 13th, 2020. Well,
wow.
We're pretty positive that the world shut down soon after, and there wasn't a lot of dating going on. But there might have been a lot of internet looking and Zooming and
a golden era of flirting.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out how many of these, you know, online dates actually after COVID, if they ever met up with each other and how successful they would be. Maybe Laura Stassi can get into that.
Who is the host?
Yeah, Laura Stassi is our host out of WUNC Public Radio in North Carolina. And she started this when she reached out to, I don't know if it's WUNC or WAMU, about a podcast training. She pitched her idea, being recently divorced, maybe 3 years divorced or something, after
That's
30
fresh.
Years of marriage and raising kids. She pitched the idea of a Dating While Gray podcast. They took her up on it. She did a little training, and she's still going strong. She's got lots of interesting guests. She's a writer by trade, and she says in that first episode that she tried to turn her skills on herself and really examine what it was she wanted out of dating and asking other people what they wanted. Were men and women different about dating?
Right.
And is it possible to fall in love when you're older? All these things were fascinating to me, and I've learned a lot from listening to the episodes, and I just thought, you know, other people would too.
Yeah, she has a great aptitude for creating a comfortable atmosphere. So I feel like she's really good when she's engaging with guests and various people. She just kind of fits in nicely. I think there's a lot of candid things that come up because of her ability to put people at ease. So I appreciated that. And I had not heard the first ones. I just kind of dove right into the latest episodes, and I thought that was fine.
Yeah, and that's what's great about the show, because you can look at the headlines, the titles, and say, oh, that one sounds interesting.
Totally.
For example, 420 Somewhere, right? Now,
yes.
I gather that was started in 1971 by a bunch of hippies. I don't know. I'm not much of a pot smoker or any pot marijuana person, although I keep saying I'm going to go buy some THC gummies to help me sleep on those rare occasions that I can't sleep.
We should talk about that.
Are you
that.
More familiar with pot than I am?
Yes.
I think you probably are. Anyone is.
I'm a late bloomer in terms of pot. Like, I think my first experience with pot was as a teenager stealing my friend's brother's pot that I believe was probably basil thyme. It was probably more like Italian seasoning than pot, and I felt nothing. And then I made a terrible mistake.
So you gave it up.
Well, I was like, oh, that's, you know, I'm not going to do that. That wasn't fun. But then I did, in my early 20s, I had an experience where I am pretty sure whatever I was smoking was laced with something, because I did it actually for sleep. Because sleep is not my friend.
No.
And I wanted to create a friendship with sleep. So I smoked something, went to bed, and got trapped in that space between waking and sleeping, and I thought I was going to die. So that was terrible. So it's been decades since I've really come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And now Anna and I are in Oregon, and so there's a lot of dispensaries about now, which I find really fun. So I kind of... step back into it a little bit.
So you're a partaker. You're a partaker.
I am a partaker. I would say, like, since we're recording this in January, a lot of people are giving up or abstaining from alcohol this month. I am as well, but I would say I'm what they call California sober, right? So I will still partake in substances. But yes, I feel like I'm very finicky. So just listening to some of the anecdotes on the It's 420 Somewhere. Of course, the one I could relate to the most was from sort of an older hippie guy talking about his early experiences with pot and, you know, how it can help with intimacy. And then his experiences trying what pot is like today and how it's vastly different and so much more powerful. And you have to really be careful. Because if you think you're just, oh, I'll smoke a couple joints and do something. No. Going to your local dispensary, to me, it's like two puffs, I'm fine.
Yeah. So again, Laura Stassi, the host, is having a conversation with a number of people about what it's like to date and have sex on marijuana. And that's the subject of this particular episode, which, you know, I'm not, there's just one anecdote that's so funny, but I don't want to mess it up for people. But that woman would have been me, the one who called the emergency.
Yes. No, and I have had an experience that did end up in an emergency room as well. So it is very real. But yes, you'll get all sorts of perspectives. So it's not necessarily if you're like, that's not for me. You have a whole spectrum of people. You know, some people just going, nope, it's not for me, never going to do it. And other people going, you have to be careful, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Laura said it's not for her. Mm-hmm. But she did seem to be interviewing people who mostly said it improved their sex lives.
Yes.
Even if they weren't partakers through their earlier lives, I guess they felt it reduced their inhibitions. Mm-hmm. And as long as they figured out what the amount was,
yes,
that's a big thing people have to figure out, as you just said, then it's a positive.
Positive.
You know, if I ever date again, maybe I'll consider it.
Yeah, but you would want to do a lot of tests with just you and, I don't know, a toy. I won't get too graphic, but yeah, just do some tests before you try to involve somebody
else. Was there
else.
An episode on toys? I didn't
No, I don't
see
think so.
I
was just saying if you're, yeah, but if you're thinking about how you react, because like sometimes you just take the wrong thing and you're just done, you're out, which I don't know, doesn't seem very conducive to a grand night in.
No. What episodes kind of struck you that you listened to?
So that one was interesting, just again, because of you got a lot of interesting perspectives. And there was also a health and romance one, which, if I'm remembering correctly, it focused on a woman who was diagnosed with Parkinson's a few years ago or before the recording, and just her experiences dating and her experiences feeling like she needs to bring it up, not necessarily like in her Tinder profile or anything, but once she actually has that first encounter with someone, how she does. She wouldn't think it was fair to not mention that she has Parkinson's. So she had a lot of very frank and, you know, distressing but honest experiences that made me think about like what I would do in that situation, either as her or as a date. But that was an interesting one.
Very tricky to negotiate that, isn't that? And as we get older, obviously, there are going to be things that we're going to have health issues.
Right.
And it's a do unto others, probably, right?
Yeah.
Would you date someone with stage 3 cancer? Would you go on a first date with that person if you knew? Similarly, if I had stage 3 cancer, I wouldn't dare go out with anybody who didn't know.
Right.
Not that they'd want to go out with me, but it just seems to be the honorable thing to do because people's time is valuable and I do not, it's not what they signed up for. It's a whole nother thing if you're with someone or you have been dating a while and you discover this stuff. But yeah, it's fraught. There's no good time. Right?
Yeah, and there was also an episode on commitment that also brought up. I believe she was a college basketball coach and was talking about her having a partner that had cancer and just her thoughts. And again, I think it's a wonderful ability for Laura to be able to create an atmosphere where people are just really being open. Not, you know, because the truth is this woman was talking about all the things going through her head and what she, you know, she wanted to do the right thing because that's who she was. But then, of course, she's thinking about how this is going to impact her personally. And so that was also a very interesting episode and discussion, just thinking about all those issues. I forget what episode it was, but there was also another episode where there was, I don't know if you call it a September-November romance, right? It's sort of a 70-year-old guy with a late 50s woman and how impotence came up,
CAC,
I believe.
CAC. That's casting age. If we were doing a movie or TV show, that would violate casting age correctness. Perhaps.
Exactly.
Disparity in their ages.
But Personal foul. So just the fact of like what having a relationship means, because like he felt like he needed to say like, hey, I'm not what I used to be sexually 20 years ago. And, you know, she was like appreciative of that information. But she's like, hey, there's so many other fun things we can do. And they just had sort of this giggly well, I was going to say irritating, not irritating, but just giggly and just like they're clearly like in that spot in a relationship where they're just totally doting on one another. So that was another good one.
Uncertain.
And we'll be right back. There's so many good things about getting older. Movie discounts and 25% off Senior Wednesdays at the New Seasons Market. But crepey skin is not a feature of advancing age. I've got crepey skin. How about you? That's why I was bowled over when I discovered Crepe Away. Oh my God, you apply this cream and all that hanging flesh just shrinks back on your bones. All moist and nice. You don't need a plastic surgeon to nip and tuck and make seams all over your body. Just say no to saggy skin with Crepe Away. I can't recommend it enough. Crepe Away is not available with or without a prescription and cannot be purchased by anyone under 45 years old. Crepe Away is not an actual product, just one the host wish was an actual product. So if some smart, talented chemist out there stop watching Netflix and invent it already, you'll be rich.
This message is brought to you by the legal staff at Uncertain Age and uncertainage.com.
Quite diverse, quite a diverse group of episodes on different topics, all relevant in terms of like when you start dating, being sure of what you want out of it. What are you looking right. for in a significant other and sticking to being open, staying open to possibilities that you hadn't perhaps thought of, but sticking to your plan. You know, do you want a partner? Do right. you want someone to pay for you for the rest of mm-hmm. your lives? Do you want a casual relationship with someone who lives in your town, but you right. maintain your own homes? You know, there's like myriad possibilities.
So many.
For how people can conduct their relationships. And I felt like everyone that she talked to is pretty aware of that.
Right. And had their own criteria going in. And I just feel I like the thing for me, I'll just say is like, I found the whole concept so interesting because like online dating to me always seemed like going to a restaurant and ordering something and then just getting the ingredients, mm-hmm. right? It's like so weird to break down romance into these steps that you could quantify because, you know, when I was, as you, growing up, it's just seemed to be about meeting people. If there's a spark, you pursue it. It's kind of like every job I've had has always been about because I knew someone. And same with dating. I mean, potential partners were usually vetted by friends.
Yeah.
Or categorized by the interests we shared or a certain situation. But I used to be kind of apprehensive about online dating. Kind of seemed cold and analytical, kind of like gamifying romance. I don't know. It totally seems to make sense. It's a tool that can vet for you, right? Like, so you're only considering partners who share your interests or
philosophies? I have to confess, I did try it.
Oh, really?
For a couple of years, and I went on a few dates. But like one of the women who was interviewed in one of the episodes, I could bring up what it was. I think it was maybe Starting Over, or was that the first episode? It was called Flying Solo. Mm. I have felt like I've been flying solo for 10 years maybe, but I did online date. I signed up for a few different ones. The fish one, Kettle of Fish, I can't remember what it
the
was.
The fish one?
Show my age again. Match, I tried for a while. Mm. Then there was supposed to be a high-end one that I applied for and didn't get accepted because I'm kind of not high-end.
Wow.
And in every case, I tried to be extremely honest with my profile, my age, height, weight, what I wanted in a guy, what I didn't want. I was pretty clear about all that. And people were emailing me and sending me things and let's meet, let's take you for coffee. And they clearly hadn't read my profile. Ugh. That was one common thread because they would just go exactly counter to something that I'd say. Anyway, it was hundreds of guys in my inbox looking to talk. Can you imagine?
That's,
where are you going to find the time to sift through all these guys and figure out who's being honest? As I said, my profile, right. I was honest. They would lie about their age. They would lie about their height. They would lie about their schooling, on and on. And so it became extremely discouraging.
Oh, I can imagine. Oh, my God.
So if anyone's listening to this and saying, you know, I've just decided I'm going to be single, listen to that flying solo episode. It's the episode number 2, and it goes back to winter 2020. But let's dig into another series of the podcast that Laura did more recently about The Golden Bachelor.
Mm.
You know, we have not reviewed The Golden Bachelor, but
That's probably my fault.
If you're not going to watch it, she does a great job of summing up along with a kind of sister podcast called The Waves.
Called The Waves. Okay, that's right. And that's another thing I love about Laura. She's able to kind of fit in with these other podcasts pretty nicely and still have her own perspective. Team Laura.
Yeah, Team Laura. And really vital for anyone who is considering dating.
So can you sum up for someone like me, Golden Bachelor? What is Golden Bachelor?
Golden Bachelor, listen, did you know that I was once on a show, again, dating myself, a show called Sally, Jesse, Raphael? Did you know that? You did know that, didn't you?
Was it a clip we used?
Sally, Jesse, Raphael was like a Jerry Springer, one of those people who would have couples on or fighting children,
mm-hmm.
people who were at odds with each other, and they would make the drama flare up. And years and years ago, I was in my apartment in Santa Monica. My friend called me from across the street, said, Anna, the cops are outside and they're getting ready to tow your truck. So I go to the window. I see that, yes, indeed, two cops are there with one car and they have called a tow truck and they're starting to hook up my truck to take it away. So I lean out the window and I say, hey, what's going on? They said, is this your truck? I said, yes, it's my truck. And they said, get down here right now.
Wow.
So I had just gotten out of the shower, towel around me. I'm holding my hairbrush. I mean, I'm a little doobie, right? I go downstairs, go, okay, he said, come down. I better come down. I can't change. I don't have time to change. I go down and he says again, is this your truck? I said, yes, but why are you getting ready to tow it? Has it been involved in a crime of any sort? No. Were you transporting arms? I'm getting flabbergasted, right?
Right?
No. We need to know what this truck has been involved in, and I don't think you're being forthcoming. I said, did you look up the VIN number? Did the
right.
license plate
did
or the VIN number register
it?
As having been, you know, at the scene of a crime or something? He didn't like that at all. He actually threw me against my own truck. The towel came off on 16th Street in Santa Monica, and this is a long-winded way of saying I was invited to be on Sally, Jesse, Raphael after this incident talk about it. And they had a cop on from New York who was brought on to argue with me and tell me that the cops were right so that there would be drama created in this show. He leans over to me at a break and says, I'm really, really sorry. What they did to you was horrible, but they're paying me to argue with you.
Oh, my God.
And this is my take on The Golden Bachelor.
Okay, nice.
And Laura confirms this because the way that the women are interviewed to possibly be dating prospects,
mm-hmm.
just how they try to create drama for the audience in terms of how the women are with each other. There has to be the catty one.
Yeah, right.
The one who's fighting with her weight. The one who's kind of jokey. The pretty one.
The
dumb
one.
The
Sex and the City
personas.
They have
to fill all these
things.
But of course, everyone is some version of gray, right? Nobody's all anything.
Right.
So I didn't want to watch The Golden Bachelor. I just don't like these shows. I want to believe there's romance, and there's a great story. Laura has a great story, and the two people tell it themselves, and it has nothing to do with creating drama and heightening drama for an audience's sake. It's just a wonderful, true story of falling in love. Another early episode. So anyway, let's talk about Laura's take and who she interviewed for The Golden Bachelor. Suffice it to say, at the end, it was sort of like, everybody turns on Gary. That was the last episode that Laura did. Everybody turns on Gary. Why? Because now we know he was lying. So duh.
Well, and the sound bites were so smarmy of him also. Like, I didn't have a visual for him, but just listening to some of the sound bites they picked and just how he's clearly manipulating some of these women and just seems so disingenuous. He seems so unreal to me.
Yeah, but I would suspect that the producers are telling him to equivocate constantly so that the women are kept off base and the audience is kept guessing, you know, because what's going to happen? You put him in a room with all these women, you give him a chance to go around. End of the series, you're going to have to pick somebody. But I bet he could have picked somebody on that very first day, but then you don't have a show. Mm-hmm. So you got to string everybody along for as long as you possibly can.
What was the deal with, is it Gary? Gary, I always thought Jerry. Gary's kids, like how they seem to influence his decision suddenly. Wasn't that a thread?
Yes, but again, I don't know that I really believed that.
Okay.
People were saying on the podcast and off that Teresa, the woman he picked her because she was more amenable to changing her life for him, mm-hmm. rather than him doing any sort of changing.
Right.
One of the episodes I really enjoyed was with this woman named Veronica, who got to the finals. And she's a Northern California woman, lives kind of outside, I believe, Santa Rosa. She had animals. And when she found out that if she was picked, she would have to go live in a house, probably share a room with one or two other women, couldn't be near her animals, couldn't have a phone or computer for the duration, it was like, I'm out.
Yeah, totally.
And so I think a 20-year-old would be more able and willing to disconnect from the outside world. But
maybe
taking away the mechanisms for modern contact from a grown person who has responsibilities, aging parents themselves, children.
Yeah, more of a sense of themselves, right? Like, no, I'm not going to put my life on pause, right? But when you're younger, maybe that's part of your life experience is to explore things like that. But when you're older, it's like, it's not really me.
Yeah, no. No, it's too much to ask. But yeah, again, it gets back to why would they want to take a computer and phones? Because if people had computers and phones, then they would realize what was going on in the Golden Bachelor and what the outside world thought of the Golden Bachelor and all the contestants.
Right.
And
start playing up to that.
That would sort of, the producers would not like that.
Right.
It's just the nature of that type of show.
That's fascinating. And even just like, even if you didn't have the coaching for all the participants, you know, as we all know, it's just shrewd editing can make whatever story, you know, especially when you've seen how things play out, then you could go back and you edit the footage in a certain way to either throw red herrings out there or to give some sort of foreshadowing. You could really make it anything you want it to.
Yeah. So this podcast episode, our podcast episode again, is about Dating While Gray, a podcast hosted by Laura Stassi out of WUNC Public Radio in North Carolina. It is not about The Golden Bachelor. You know, she just covered The Golden Bachelor because it is about dating while gray. But it's an artificial construct.
Right.
And she shows that it's an artificial construct and people aren't their true selves. So if you're going to listen to the Dating While Gray podcast, I would say that you're not going to learn a whole hell of a lot by listening to the Golden Bachelor episodes. You might be amused.
Might be amused, though Laura's perspective does come through it, like where she's going, like, what I would like to see in a show like this is more like discussions about finances or about how are grown children and blah, blah, blah. So she does offer sort of a counterpoint to what she would love from an authentic Golden Bachelor, which of course we'll never see because our culture is bullshit. But you do get a sense of her perspective from that.
Totally. So, you know, our indices kind of go out the window.
I think you're right, but why don't we just try? Like, first off, you brought up
okay, CAC. So we sort of touched on the CAC index, the CAC casting. We don't call casting anymore. We'll say dating age correctness.
Right.
For the most part, the episodes deal with people who are wanting to date people close to their own age.
Yes.
Would you not say so?
I would indeed say so.
And then we have possibly upsetting criteria.
There's some of that.
What do you think?
I think you come up with some people who've had really brutal dating situations or have, of course, like we discussed, the personal health issues or a lot of widowers. So yeah, there's a lot of very real themes that come up that could be distressing.
There's a lot of schmaltz factor. There are a lot of true stories recounted by participants of falling in love. So if that's going to get in your craw, don't listen to those.
Yes.
Did anything get in your craw? Speaking of craws.
No, I thought because I thought even the ones that were sort of sweet, at least we're still acknowledging the realities like I was saying, like that couple that was kind of maybe not quite age appropriate, but mostly, and just how screwball crazy in love they were. That was fine because it's still, they brought up some real things like how they deal with sex and et cetera. So
yeah.
So far, nothing stuck in my craw. Initially, I was listening to it and I thought, God, Laura's voice, it's so high-pitched. And I realized, oh, I'm listening to this at 1.5 speed because that's what I typically do with podcasts. So that didn't get stuck in my craw.
Okay, so we don't recommend that.
Right. But you do get used to it, which is really weird. And it makes real-world conversations almost just unendurable because they're so slow.
Yeah. Nothing really got in my craw. There were episode titles that did not appeal to me, but that's hardly, you know, important. You can find the podcast anywhere. Apple, you can go straight to WUNC.org and listen to the podcast directly off the WUNC website. There's a Facebook page, which I delved into a little. Quite amusing.
Facebook,
Jerry,
huh?
Speaking of, gets quite taken to task by most of the people on there. And so that's our first podcast review, Dating While Gray, completely age appropriate.
About podcasts. How meta.
Yeah? You're meta?
No, I said how meta, a podcast talking about a podcast. Yes.
Right.
That's all I was saying.
Right. Very good. So that's it, folks. That's kind of it. Is there anything else you want to mention about Dating While Gray or anything else? How is your health? By the way, my alarm is about to go off because I have a doctor's appointment, an eye doctor's appointment, actually, speaking of. But this is not something I would mention on a date, that I have a dry eye syndrome,
for example. Why?
I don't think that's really relevant.
Well, then if someone says there wasn't a dry eye in the house, you could go, I beg to differ, right? So there's that.
Yes.
But yeah, because, you know, yes. Isn't it funny to make fun of someone else's health? That's great. Nice job, Dale.
Well, that's it for this week. I'm Anna Nicholas.
And I am Dale Basie.
We are uncertain about a lot of things.
But not about why we're here.
We think.
So thank you for listening.
Yes. Take care, everybody.
Take care. See you
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm ready for my close-up yesterday. Uncertain.
Do you feel lucky?
That's all. Uncertain. Come on up and see me sometime.